This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Guardians, a winner on opening day. Audio courtesy of
the Cleveland Guardians and Major League Baseball.
Guardians TV.
Did you guys enjoy that yesterday? I was at the little gym with the little one getting the texts. Like,
you weren't the only one.
We are struggling. We can't find it. It is blacked out. Are we getting baseball? But you know what? In the end, it seemed like everybody eventually got it, and the Guardians were victorious on Kyle Manzardo's humongous opening day in Kansas City, and your Gardos 1-0. Daryl Ryder in for Ken Carmen today. We've got Mitch. We've got Owen. We've got Zach Jackson of The Athletic at 8 o'clock, who's been basically at all the pro days. Joel Corey, CBS Sports at 9, to tell us the salary cap is, once again, a myth in the NFL. And maybe an interesting development going on behind the scenes when it comes to who could be the next Browns quarterback. But, Daryl, welcome into the show. Do you have any problem catching up with your favorite baseball team last night?
It was a little slow getting started, but about the third inning or so, was able to lock in.
All right. So what was the issue, and were you encountering the same issue that everybody else seemed to be?
Well, the what I got to do now. This is the, I guess, the frustrating part is I have to use the browser. I have to use a browser on my TV because I kept looking for like an app.
Oh, I'll teach you about that later.
I couldn't find an app, so I finally, it was like, all right, I'm going to do the browser thing on the TV. Not the funnest thing to try and do with a remote that doesn't have any letters or numbers that you can type in on it. You're getting carpal tunnel, working the arrows, yes, trying to find your...
Well, Guardians is a very long word.
Yeah. It's,
if they were the Reds, it would have been much easier.
Well, it's CleGuardiansTV, I think, .com, yes, is the website. So that's an adjustment for me. But, you know, I do like the fact that unlike years past, it's readily available to stream now. Because I'm a streamer. I don't have cable of any kind. I stream everything. I rotate my streaming services every couple of months so I can catch up on content and stuff like that. But I ended up watching the end with Joe Vardon in the media room down at Rocket Arena. I ended up watching the 9th and 10th innings. And I'm actually proud of myself. I stepped away from X from a moment after Emmanuel Clase blew the save in the ninth.
Probably a good time to do it, right?
Well, I had it ready to go. Emmanuel Clase picking up right where he left off in the playoffs. It was ready to go. And then I was like, you know what? I'm already getting enough grief over something else. Probably not the time to be piling on. So I hit the delete key, and, you know, the Guardians ended up with the 3-run 10th inning and winning the ballgame. So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think it's, unfortunately, is this a glimpse into how all of this stuff is going to be down the road?
Like, yes.
Could you see yourself having to try to find out whether your team is even going to be available? Where are they going to be available? How are you going to access it? Obviously, you are an increasing portion of the demographics probably right now that are in all around the country that are trying to, you know, figure out, do we cut cable? Do we not? I have to say, I mean, like, you know, 10 years ago, it's an old champion's pose. This is an old one. We had a lot of people saying, Lima, we're stealing. We are streaming. We know the websites. We're getting everything for free. I got rid of cable. And, you know, all these years later, wouldn't you just like to go back to the old cable model?
Yes.
Wouldn't you prefer?
Yes.
I feel like this is my best take that I've had. And I called it out 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah, but it's all in one place. Yeah, but I'm saving money. Who today is that thrilled with the state of affairs for the way that they have their viewing habits shaped with all these streaming controversies?
Here's the problem that streaming has is that it's very difficult to change channels. It's not like you type in the number in your remote,
yeah,
and
it's
immediate. You got it logs you out of your one app or one streaming service to go into another. And this is something that the NFL has to watch out for, because I feel like that's where that league might be going. And fans are already a little frustrated because they do games now on Peacock and Netflix and Amazon Prime. And if you get into a multi-game situation, right, where the current TV package, Fox and CBS, yeah, and then NBC at night, well, that's fairly easy to maneuver. But, like, if I wanted to, like, change games in the 1 o'clock window or the 4 o'clock window, and I end up having to change that, that's going to be one annoying pain in the backside. Now, March Madness was fun for me. I had the multi-view up.
Oh, there you go.
So I could watch 3 and 4 games at a time. That was pretty cool. Streaming wise, but yeah, the streaming is great, but I think that they've got to find some way to come up with some sort of portal, so it's like you're changing channels on cable instead of having to.
Well, ironically, that's kind of where we're heading, is the bundling up of streaming services. So it's going to be cable all over again. Only I gotta say, with a worse interaction, a worse portal, a worse way for any viewers, yep, to actually,
well, that's
access
why I
all
the way
Daryl, the way Daryl's doing it, though, where you go cut one every couple months and, you know, you save 10, yeah, 20 bucks.
Well, here's the thing. I sat down and I did my credit card bill a couple of months ago because I'm like, wait a minute, how am I spending this much money? I don't remember going, and then I sit down and I'm like looking at all, you know, all my subscriptions that I have, and I'm like, all right, gotta, you know, rein this in a little, yeah, bit. And so I do rotate every 3 months. I'll rotate my streaming service, because $20 per streaming service, that really adds up,
yeah,
in a
it
hurry.
Does. So once finally you were able to get settled in and watch some Guardians baseball, was it business as usual? Did it feel,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
normal?
Yeah, it felt like,
I mean,
a normal broadcast.
You still had our buddies, Matt Underwood. You had Rick Manning. Dre doing,
yeah,
the interviews.
Manning's
like,
wishing happy birthday to, so you know,
felt,
some
yeah,
fine
normal,
young,
yeah,
woman in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. It was, yeah, just, you know, other than it just being in a, it didn't have a network branding per se on it, you know.
Aesthetically, it was cleaner.
Yeah, it felt like a normal sports television broadcast. Like Owen said, I do feel like I know we're really like getting deep in the sauce here, but from like a graphics perspective, the presentation, it was, you know, sharper and cleaner, and I don't know how to describe it, but just from a visual standpoint.
Well, why was I so tense and nervous that I didn't get to watch the first two innings of baseball, though?
What do you mean?
I just felt like I was resetting. Well, I tried to get in on the pregame, and I couldn't even get the pregame show to stream, and just resetting the app and reset, you know, going on my phone, going on my TV, going back and forth because I couldn't see the game. And ultimately, it didn't cost me, you know.
But you probably assumed.
I missed a bases loaded situation.
Sure. You probably assumed you were going to be left in the dark, right? For the entirety of the game. That stinks. Like, you're one of those that gets really excited about opening day. You were, you know, of everybody yesterday, you seem to be the most excited about it. So you carve out that time. You get yourself pumped up. Watching baseball for that first time, it always feels like we're entering a new season.
I got to watch the most important part of the game on a laptop. It's fantastic.
I got to see Manzardo hit for the tricycle.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was a great way to start. Things got hairy in the eighth. Gattis worked himself into a dicey predicament. Fortunately, he had some boneheaded base running by the Royals. That was always fun. And heads up with Jose and Naylor, and they were able to get themselves out of that situation. Then in the ninth, Class A. What your thoughts, Daryl? Is there reason to be concerned? It is funny though. There were people legitimately, like, they obviously remember how things ended last year, and their dominant closer all of a sudden looked to be a weakness at a really bad time. And then he comes out and, you know, he was throwing strikes for the most part.
The movement wasn't there on the pitches, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're used to seeing some movement with the Heat, and just kind of felt like he was just throwing straight lasers.
Yeah, it's and it is early, but you know how with relievers, how they could fall off a cliff so fast.
Hey, listen, you're talking to a guy who came in ready to start the Kyle Manzardo for American League MVP campaign this morning.
You might as well put Class A in for Cy Young because he's 1-0.
He is 1-0. Yeah, if you're a fantasy, if you're a rotisserie guy, Daryl, I know that you used to be. Does anybody win out by him, you know, blowing the opportunity but then getting the win?
This guy could have 30 or 40 wins this year.
Hey, well,
he's going to have the most opportunities.
So, hey, a little tight, 240, even though there's extra innings, 2 hours, 40 minutes.
You know,
yesterday,
what?
You got your win.
He got the short end of the stick last year in the Cy Young voting. He figured, hey, it's not saves that I need. I need wins.
Yeah.
It's all about wins.
So, racking them up, what did you make of the controversy in the news before the game? We're sitting here pumping up Tanner Bibee all game long. Next thing you know, the bevy of tweets. Everybody got that. Because I don't typically get to social media as much during the day like I used to. And I logged on, and it was 100 straight tweets about him being out with what? Food poisoning?
I guess. So he actually, and I, is a Bibee is his handle on X. And I got a chuckle out of him going on X to tell people to stop talking about a certain fast food chain that he enjoys visiting on a daily basis. He had posted that he was sick before he could even think about a bowl. He wanted to clarify that whatever illness he obtained, it was not a result of his regular selection in fast food.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that had to be really interesting for Lively, knowing that, you know, you're settling in, it's opening day. Who knows what he was doing the night before,
right?
When, you know, pitchers don't think they're going to play, don't think they're going to pitch. Sometimes they have a very different routine, which could involve who knows what the night before the game. Instead, he gets the call. What'd you think of his performance overall?
Yeah.
He ends up striking out three earned runs in his five innings of work, giving up four hits.
Yeah, I thought it was a quality start, especially considering the situation.
Gave him a chance.
That's really all you can ask for. And I think you're starting to see, Anthony, and again, I realize we're getting a little deep in the weeds here after one game, but you're starting to see throughout Major League Baseball a lot of five-inning starts. Like, if you can get into the sixth and seventh and eighth innings, that's no longer done with regularity. It's become, got into the sixth or seventh inning now. You're seeing, and a lot of it has to do, I think, with the specialized bullpen setups. And the Guardians, previously known as the Indians, like, they started with Terry Francona, started that trend of building that bullpen for innings 6 through 9. Just get the starter through 5. So, yeah, I thought, considering the situation, I thought he was pretty good.
All right, Guardians get the win. 7-4, 1-0. Daryl, what does that mean for the season? What does that mean for 162?
162. Do we start? What do we chant this morning? Do we start?
I love that Daryl's ready to chant.
Do we do the 162-0?
Let's go.
Or do we do MVP? I'm a little
Daryl. Whatever you choose, yeah. We will follow.
Do we do Cy Young for Emmanuel Class A being 1-0? Like I'm torn.
Listen,
it's
a generous show.
Ways.
If you start a chant, especially at the end of the show and coming in hot, which right now is on the fence. We'll see how today goes. Got to earn coming in hot, but we do a lot of chanting, a lot of hooting, and subsequently a lot of hollering on coming in
we
hot.
We do love both.
We do love both.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, before we get into these stories, can I just throw out one other complaint about the Guardians yesterday other than the broadcast?
All this show does is complain. My God,
yes.
You're 1-0. Cavs won yesterday.
No, this is important.
We're getting a new quarterback. I mean,
important.
What's the problem?
The communication on the catches yesterday was absurd for the Guardians. I thought we lost Carlos Santana for a month after he collided with Bo Naylor early in the game. And then the 10th inning, Lane Thomas snatching the ball away from Stephen Kwan.
See, this is the Mitch I've been waiting for.
Well, and I kept watching the replays, and I'm like, no one's yelling, I got it. The center fielder is supposed to yell, I got
simple.
It.
I have an 11-U team, and we always say, you've got to talk, guys. You've got
to
talk.
All right, is this a legitimate thing to be outraged about on March 28th?
Is the Guardians' lack of communication going to doom their season?
I mean, you'd like to think, Mitch, that this is something they'll get sorted out, I don't know, come April, May, June, July, August, September, October.
The best of habits and the worst of habits are built from day one, day 100.
Boy, that sounds like an athletic director's kid right there.
Yep.
Well, one thing I'm not complaining about from yesterday was the Cavaliers' victory over the San Antonio Spurs, 124-116, in which Jared Allen had a season-high 29 points, 19 of them coming in the fourth quarter. Allen was asked after the game if even he could tell there was a takeover happening in the final period. I mean, really, Allen has had a heck of a night for the
good
team.
Good recovery. Great recovery, Mitch. I'm loving it.
But it's a solid night for him as well as the Cavaliers, who have now won 3 in a row.
I mean, we don't really need to hear from him. We just need to watch the highlights of him abusing the 6'6" and under San Antonio Spurs. A little bit different than maybe when you purchased a ticket and you thought you'd be going up against Wemby.
I actually have a complaint from last night's Cavs game.
Let's hear it.
Too many stoppages for reviews.
It's really bad.
You and
I'm
Kenny
sitting
Atkinson.
There and I'm
it's
like,
really
guys.
Bad.
I need to be up at 4 a.m. I can't be sitting here all night while you're looking at replay monitors. What are we doing?
It honestly has gotten really bad, and not just that, but in the college basketball tournament, you're seeing so many stoppages that just kill the flow. So you already get so many, and I'm a huge basketball fan, Daryl, but it's gotten to the point, like, between free throws and the replays, you can't get through the end of these games. I do think that is something that the NBA, if baseball was able to speed their game up of all games, I think we could find a way. Do we need all these reviews? Like, I honestly, if you're going to have so many possessions, if games are going to be played, last night Indiana dropped 162. If you're going to have that many possessions, do we need to review anything before the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, even Kenny Atkinson last night spoke up about it. He wasn't critical of the officiating, but he did say they're human. I make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. Like, what are we doing here?
All right, going back to baseball, I was actually, I admit something yesterday. I was kind of like a jealous ex-boyfriend. I was keeping tabs on some of the former Guardians that were going around the league. Some of them had some days that were
you checking
decent,
their Instagram feeds?
Checking the Instagram feeds, sending them a few DMs I shouldn't have.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
But there was one player in particular yesterday that I had my eye on yesterday. This is from Sportsnet Canada. Yes. In the Blue Jays game against the Orioles, as Andrés Giménez hit a two-run home run.
Are you hitting play? What's
I'm hitting,
going on?
Who had
hitting
worse
play?
Communication, the outfielders for the Guardians?
I don't know what's happening.
Computer.
I don't know what's happening as we currently speak, but Andrés Giménez yesterday Hit the two-run home run his first game
he
as
did.
A Blue Jay.
I did notice that, but you know what? Don't care. Don't care. 1-0, Kyle Manzardo, 7-4.
Guess what?
That's your new song?
Yeah.
Did our second baseman hit a home run yesterday? I don't think he did. Actually, he did have a double. That was nice.
All right, here's the thing.
Are you going to do this every day, Mitch? You're going to compare and contrast?
Yes,
who's
he's
out,
yes,
who's
I could.
In.
I could absolutely try.
While the Guardians are atop tied for first place in the division?
He has nothing else better to do. Of course he's going to do that.
Man, I don't know. I thought we'd be excited about opening day. Apparently Mitch came in and he was going to take a different tact.
I don't know. I think
he didn't burn that stuff like he was supposed to, so what do you expect?
I'm a little concerned, though, with the whole checking in on the X bit that he's got going on. Might need to have a counseling session.
This is about
session.
Baseball players, not
you're
actual people
that
in my
you,
life.
You check in on your ex-girlfriends.
I watched highlights. I watched Josh Naylor hit a two-run double yesterday in a loss. I watched Terry Francona, his team blow a lead in the ninth inning after he got emergency dental surgery in the morning.
What'd he get? I have some.
It was a broken veneer he had, yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
I have some familiarity now.
What was the final score yesterday in Kansas City?
It was 7-4, Guardians win.
Okay, so you're worried about all these X's. Why? What you got now is pretty okay.
Just keeping tabs.
Okay, but what you have now, look at what you have now.
It could go south at any point. We just want to make sure.
See, now you're back to being a Yankees fan. That's what
I'm not a Yankees fan.
That's what it's back to. Yeah, you didn't burn your stuff like you said you would before opening day. You totally forgot about it.
No, you didn't forget
I spent
about it.
Dozens and dozens of dollars on that. I'm not going to burn it.
Yeah, you and Jonathan Peterlin, who
did
spent $15
it?
On a Shador yeah. Sanders jersey.
I don't know
jersey.
If I can sell it necessarily. But
why can't
I
you sell it?
I could try. I've never
There's
done it before.
There's a thing called eBay. Try it.
Yeah, I've never done eBay before. All right, going from baseball to college basketball yesterday, some Sweet 16 action as Alabama set a record in their victory over BYU, in which they scored over 100 points. They had 25 three-pointers as a team. That's an NCAA record. 10 of them made by Mark Sears, as Alabama looks like a team that I don't know if there's going to be a team that's been able to catch up with them for the rest of the tournament. They're going to have to be slowed down if they want to have
I
a chance
to win. I
think
they set all the Sweet 16 scoring records and shooting records. Yesterday, if I would have told you that one of the teams between BYU and Alabama basketball hit 25 threes,
I thought Alabama was football school.
Who would you have guessed would have done that?
The whole SEC has taken over basketball.
They have. They have now.
Well, because they've lost out to the Big Ten in football.
In football. Mm. There you go, Daryl. You beat me to it. It was actually a really, really fun night of college basketball yesterday. You all said that Texas Tech game that went right down to the wire. It was pretty good.
It was the first time, I believe, in Calipari's career where he was up by more than 6 points at halftime and ended up losing the game. They were up 16 points in the second half and
totally
still
blew
lost.
It. Totally blew it. So, you know, tournament shaping up is actually, after the opening couple days, I was like, the tournament's kind of stunk. And here we are. They're redeeming themselves into the Sweet 16 as we move on.
You also had Florida and Duke both one seeds, outlasting Maryland and Arizona, respectively. Duke also putting up 100 points on the Wildcats, so another high-scoring affair.
Cooper Flagg was dominating yesterday at 30 points.
Just unbelievable. And then we have a slew of games later on tonight. Speaking of basketball and the pro side, some news yesterday. The NBA, after one season of this nonsensical tournament-style all-star weekend event, they have announced that they are no longer going with the round robin tournament that they had in the All-Star weekend.
Daryl, what are you going to miss the most? What was your favorite memory from this year's All-Star weekend and their round robin tournament?
That I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I got to tell ya, you kind of knew this was going to be one done. I will applaud the NBA for trying things. It's a weekend that everybody universally hates anyway now. So try stuff. Throw stuff against the wall. This one didn't land. Keep going. You've got to try to find some interest in this because it was really, really bad this
well,
year.
Well, when you have to have NBA G Leaguers come up to do the dunk contest and win it, you know it's just it's played out. They've got to.
Well, and Daryl, hockey stole the show this year.
Well, it's
that
also
was fabulous.
It's the week after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So people are in their break mode, right? Take a small mini break from sports for a minute. Well, they move it to the week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Compete with the Pro Bowl. NFL wants to steal every day. They're trying to steal Christmas, right?
Oh, you know what? That's a great idea.
Go steal the weekend before the Super Bowl.
I agree. I think it would give them a better chance. You still got to solve the problem for, are these guys going to care? They're making $50 million.
It's also closer to halfway than what they're. Yeah. I mean, they're going to the All Star break, which is halfway, but there's only 25 games
sure,
left
I,
after.
I've got a real dumb idea to throw out there.
Oh, go ahead. We love them.
Why don't they do a horse tournament instead of the dunk contest? Do a horse tournament.
Why would they ride horses?
Isn't that what the Cavs just did to get themselves back on track? They played horses a mean game of horse.
Yeah.
I believe that would be the third iteration of the horse event because they did one in the 70s. They did one in the late 2000s. But you're right. It should be an event that
should be
brought back.
I want to see some one-on-one.
Horse correspondent.
I do want to see some one-on-one.
And finally, I want to go back to baseball here. You know who also is tied for first right now in the American League Central?
Who's that?
Oh, gee. I wonder.
The 1-0 Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
We talked about their over-under yesterday being at 53.5 wins for the season.
Don't you feel stupid if you had the under?
They're already 1-0. They're already over 500 on the year after beating the Angels, which is, you know, that's not very hard.
Listen, I'm surprised you didn't come into the studio this morning decked out head to toe in White Sox gear.
Jumping on the bandwagon.
I have a hat that I accidentally bought, not realizing it was a White Sox hat.
How do you accidentally buy a hat?
It didn't have the White Sox. Oh, it has a White Sox logo on, but it doesn't say Sox.
You can't accidentally buy anything. They ask you for your card.
You can if you try hard enough.
It is really hard.
It's called a transaction.
I didn't get a receipt either. And that's it for about last night.
All right. See if you can track down Schifrin's game winner. See if you can. I mean, he's got to be puffed. He's got to be
blew him out.
Yeah, he's got to be puffing his chest out. I mean, they're 1-0. This is 1-0. And when you get to announce one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, just like that, could be an all-time turnaround. All right.
1-0. 1-0.
They're also the best team in Chicago right now.
There you go. Are you even a Browns fan if you weren't sent a video or a photo, I should say, yesterday of Kirk Cousins at a Westside burrito establishment?
If you received a phone call from a person that said they were in there, does that make you more of a Browns fan?
Yeah, this is turning into one of those events like the perfect game, the Indians perfect game back in the day, where how many people say they were in attendance?
About 75,000 people,
yeah.
And there were actually 75 people in the stands.
Yeah, yeah. So how many were actually at Chipotle yesterday?
Where were you when Kirk Cousins visited Chipotle yesterday in Westlake?
All right, Dale, now you seem pretty worked up about every facet of this story yesterday. I must say, we had two coworkers, Owen and Keith, the boss, both saying they knew directly that Kirk Cousins was there. So anybody that was debunking that Kirk Cousins was actually in Cleveland and Northeast Ohio, we can debate till the cows come home why he was here. And whether he had formal meetings with the Cleveland Browns, whether he made his way to Berea. Okay, that stuff is reckless speculation.
There's a lot of reckless speculation going on.
But we do know. We all agree, right?
He was here.
Kirk Cousins was here.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Owen, how do you know?
He loves the Great Lakes. He has a house on every Great Lake.
Hey, listen, when you're in the off season and it's late March, Cleveland, Ohio's a destination. Like, at some point, we just need to accept how awesome it is here.
It's gonna
Jameis did say 90 great days.
And one of them is going to be Saturday.
Yeah.
Kirk needs to be here till Saturday to get one of those great days. But that could be the case. So, Dale, you seemed particularly annoyed yesterday on how this was handled throughout the city.
No, I'm annoyed in how some stuff is getting handled, both on social media and just in general, the media. Like, it takes 2 seconds to check in on something. I just feel like folks in our business are starting to get real cavalier with information, and it's leading to social media firestorms that don't need to be there. I got a lot of hate on X yesterday because I tried to have a little fun with the whole Kirk Cousins thing, because I actually did do my job and check in, okay, why is the guy here? And I'll tell you why he was here. He was here to hang out with a Browns player. And that Browns player's family, because they're close. And he's property of the Atlanta Falcons. The Browns cannot talk to him without permission. And my understanding, as I posted on X yesterday, is Browns don't have permission to talk to him. And so I wanted to get that information out there just to kind of quell the speculation of, well, he's here to talk to the Browns and things like that. I was just trying to provide some fact. And I got absolutely ratioed for doing that.
Oh no.
We had We had the Deion Sanders thing where he allegedly said something at some conference, and a week later, some dude with a lot of followers on X posted that Deion said something he didn't, and Deion, and it went viral on social media, and Deion Sanders ultimately saw it in, on Instagram and had to say, no, that's nonsense. I never said that. There are other situations that are popping up where it just takes you 2 seconds to figure out, yeah, there's no chance, and you know what, that that can even happen. So I'm a little frustrated with the media landscape right now in how some folks go about doing their jobs. There was someone that said that the Browns didn't attend Ohio State's Pro Day because they were in Miami with Cam Ward. No, the Browns sent the scouting department to Columbus, Ohio. Believe it or not, the organization can walk and chew gum at the same time. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if you really want to do some scouting, it's called Watch the Game Film from College Football Season. Not guys running around in shorts and T-shirts, or in some cases, shirtless, on air, with nobody else competing with them. Like, so I get a little frustrated with, and it's something that I fight myself internally. I'm real frustrated at times with the very casual usage of information on social media and in the media landscape when people don't, like, they don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the homework. They don't want to double check things. And then I get ratioed because, I don't know, I did my job by checking in to make sure that the Browns did not have permit, because Kirk Cousins is a name I've been talking about since February.
Well, here's what you tweeted, and you said you were having fun. Let's see, how does this come across? I'll throw this out. Kirk Cousins is property of the Atlanta Falcons, just FYI. He can talk to the Browns without their permission. My understanding is that this has not happened. Hate to let facts once again get in the way of a good story.
That's very fine if you choose to read it in that nice tone and pace voice.
I wrote it in a very condescending tone.
I have to go pull it up. I don't have it in front of me, but it was not in that same tone. I read it in the tone that I've heard Daryl talking several times, not only in interviews on this station, but in breaks during this show. And it went much, much more cutting than that.
Okay, so there
it was meant to be condescending because, again, there's just been so many instances in the last 2 weeks where firestorms have started and they've been completely inaccurate. So I was trying to throw some accuracy in with a little, shade.
So with all of that said, and 216-474-0092, it does seem like an interesting time of the year to have Kirk Cousins just show up in Northeast Ohio, right?
Again, we can all admit that. It's late March. Who doesn't want to visit the southern shore of Lake Erie in late March?
Well, maybe it is a total coincidence that he'd want to be meeting with maybe, say, one of the offensive linemen or a member of the Browns. I mean, there's no connection to be drawn about maybe learning some of the cadence and the play design. And I mean, that is a total coincidence.
Myles Garrett has volunteered his services to recruit some players to Cleveland. But
now Myles does live much further south than where this
is true.
It would get cold by the time he got all the way home. Yeah. I mean, that brown bag, it only keeps in so much of the heat.
Not insulated.
Well, but you know what? Kirk Cousins doesn't strike me as a brown bag type of guy. And judging from the video and the photo evidence that surfaced yesterday, I think it's fair. I think we can assume that Kirk Cousins is not a brown bag guy.
Listen, whatever it takes to get that honey chicken in your mouth like I had earlier in the week is delightful. All right, 216-474-0092. Are you buying what Daryl's selling, that this was a coinkydink? This had nothing to do. Nothing to do whatsoever with the Cleveland Browns doing everything they can, their due diligence, less than a month before the draft, and then when everything gets settled with the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, which is when I presume that we would be hearing about a potential trade for Kirk Cousins.
The National Football League takes tampering very seriously. They have now what's called legal tampering.
Well, as long as it's legal, you can do it.
Yeah.
But while I don't dispute anything that Daryl said today or in his tweet yesterday, I do not believe for a second that he was only here to visit a friend. I think there was a ton of, let's poke around. There's some times where in my life, maybe, I've made sure I was very adjacent to an opportunity that could come my way. Well, and
couple birds with one stone.
Why else would you be you know exactly what you're doing when you come to town and go publicly.
He responded to the post that went went nuts on social media, which was funny. But then the other thing that's fun to speculate about him like doing his potential homework. I will give Browns fan credit. They rolled out the orange and brown carpet yesterday. That's for sure. So if Kirk Cousins was in fact on a fact-finding mission about, I don't know, what it's like to be in Northeast Ohio, I think he got a pretty positive view of the type of fan base that is here.
You're saying the fan base yesterday locked into the idea?
Did you not watch X yesterday?
Well, that's why I got to be honest. I was not really on it throughout the day.
Do you know how many crimes Browns fans might be able to solve? Like, it really is amazing.
Well, I do want to talk about this. 216-474-0092. If Kirk Cousins is your next quarterback, is your starting quarterback come September, how will that make you feel? Browns are dead last in the AFC when it comes to win totals heading into the season. Would this change it? Would this dramatically change it? Would it make you think that you got a shot all of a sudden? And also, we've got some audio for you coming up in hour number two. Deion Sanders debunking some of the rumors about his son and where he might want to go.